In 2017, a bunch of nerds were tasked by a podcasting network to come up with a monthly show. These men promptly came up with the idea for a comic book show where they could educate the masses. Today, they use this show as a platform for helping their fellow nerds in any way they can. If you have a nerdy question, if Google hasn't helped you, and if you have a Facebook account, maybe you can ask the Nerds for Hire.
And your nerds for this week, Trevor Camp.
Hello.
Asa Gray.
Yes.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. Sorry, things were looking weird on the screen.
It was such a long moment of silence.
Yeah, no, it was looking a little weird. I think everything is fine. Derek will almost certainly let me know.
You left us alone with our thoughts way too long there, Jesse.
Yeah, I can't.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm not allowed.
Sorry. And Derek, that wasn't a shot. I absolutely love that you report these things to me so I can fix them. I like to know when there's a problem. We like to be professionals here.
Jesse likes to be professionals here?
Listen. I mean, with the audio quality, yes. Quality of content, questionable.
Depends on what show I'm on.
Yeah.
If it's Thursday, no. Like, it's that's free reign. That's whatever we want to do.
Oh, yeah. It's just a jetpack on a donkey trying to stay on the road, man.
Sunday, though. That's organized, ordered, solid. All right. Speaking of Sunday, I'm going to start the show off the same way that I did Sunday with a little message from Asa Gray, something that's very important to him, something that we here at the PZ85 Studios hopes work out for him. Asa, hit it.
Yeah. So assuming most of you who've listened to this listen to Nerd Up, but on the off chance that you don't, they are still accepting submissions for the Kind of Funny up-and-comer program, which is the fundraising tier that they reached for the month of January. They are paying to fly out a lesser-known content creator. They're putting them up in a hotel, paying for the flight and everything, and then having them work on Kind of Funny programming. I would be co-hosting Kind of Funny Games Daily Monday through Friday with Greg Miller, and then on Friday, I would actually be hosting the show with someone that I could pick from, like, the area, the industry, which is, like, just a crazy opportunity. It's amazing that they're doing this, and I know we're small enough to not be recognizable to the majority of the Kind of Funny audience. And that's kind of the point of this is in 2018, they've taken a bunch of smaller streamers and YouTubers and journalists and people and like freelancers and have brought them on. And like, even just like gauging from their followings and like their reactions to that exposure has been huge. So this could be amazing, not just for me, but for all of Podzilla, all of CCW. Like, there's a lot of really great potential here. And also, if you listen to these shows, you know I'm a huge fan of Greg Miller in general and all of those crew. So there is a link on our Facebook page, facebook.com/podzilla1985, the newly revamped twitter.com/podzilla1985, my personal Facebook page, where it's a link where you go and you submit it's a Google Drive forum where it's pretty much you put my name. Podzilla1985.com is the website. My Twitter handle is @thefivestarman with the number 5. And just a little, if you've ever enjoyed anything that I have brought to the table through PZ85 or CCW, just kind of, you know, if it's energy or knowledge or humor or, you know, anything like that, that's what they're going to look for. So my goal is, I know it's an incredibly long shot to actually win it, but my goal is at least to get PZ85 recognized by them, because that could eventually lead to, even if it's not this time, something in the future.
Yeah, I mean, if they even say Podzilla 1985 on the Kind of Funny show, like, that would be pretty awesome. Like, that would make my day a little.
Yeah.
How hard, like, if you get there, you think we would get the internet death hug? Because that'd just be great.
I mean, I don't know it's Podbean, so maybe, but it would be cool. Like, that would be a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Like, too many people trying to listen, so.
Yeah, I mean, like, Podbean does host some significantly larger podcasts, so yes. I'm sure it can handle it.
Yeah.
Be all right.
I would assume so. But so it was just the Podzilla1985.com, for facebook.com/Podzilla1985, probably be the easiest way, because we just shared my original post that has the answer cheat sheet as well as the link right there. So it only takes, like, 2 minutes to do.
Open the link in a separate window, by the way, because I kind of forgot. I couldn't go back on my phone to write in your Twitter.
Oh, gotcha.
But I remember Podzilla 1985. I was like, is it five star man or the five star man?
Yeah, the five star man, and it's the number five because some other loser has the letter spelling. But it's fine. We're all friends here. But yeah, just it's a 2 minute thing, and I would greatly appreciate it. And thank you for your time.
All right, and now on to the show this week. This week, as advertised on Facebook, where we asked for fan input, if you want in on that next time, facebook.com/podzilla1985. We post this kind of stuff most of the time.
Just for a little bit of like behind the scenes stuff, we are making a more concentrated effort on putting things out there for on Facebook and especially Twitter. Like, when I got the login for our Twitter information and going to that Twitter account, there were four tweets. The first one being, hey, we're on Twitter now. And they were all from 2015. So I went ahead and just deleted those because it kind of felt pointless to keep any of that. And then
No, man, that's the foundation we build this building on.
My goal is to put out at least, you know, one every other day. And not necessarily just the show posts. Mm. But, you know, like things like this of... hey, if, you know, our topic for the night is this, one, gauge interest, or not gauge interest, but like build interest, and two, to kind of encourage that fan interaction.
Yep.
Not necessarily straight up like, not like how we used to do it where we would say like, this is the topic, tell us what you think. Because now it's less aimed at engagement, but an engagement would just be a really great side effect. But so we're going to be a little bit more active on Facebook and Twitter, but we also are not just going to be like spamming your feed with a bunch of unnecessary stuff.
Yep. So yeah, you can also find us there on Twitter because we posted it on both. Podzilla1985 on Twitter and facebook.com/podzilla1985. Find us in both of those places. So yeah, we're going to talk about what if the Marvel Universe got a New 52 style reboot. Just be a fun what if situation, because the problem with Marvel, they haven't had a hard reboot since the Ultimate Universe. And that wasn't technically a reboot.
Yeah, it wasn't even a reboot.
It was a new universe with new stories on, you know, existing characters.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, it took them back to their roots and retold the origin story, kind of updated some origin stories and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the stuff that came out of the Ultimate Universe is some of the more popular stuff in Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ultimate Spider-Man is widely considered one of the best Spider-Man stories of all time. Like the story of Peter Parker and Miles Morales has obviously made it huge at this point.
And that transition between...
The transition between Peter and Miles.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Ultimate Universe is really cool. So Marvel, though, hasn't had, like I said, a hard reboot. They've done, like, they're all new, all different. They've done Marvel 2.0 and stuff like that, but none of that has really been a hard reboot.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been kind of...
Those are mostly just changing up creative teams.
Right, like new stories from new creative teams, stuff that you could jump in on the on issue one, not having read anything prior and been fine.
Right.
That was their goal, as opposed to New 52, where they rebooted completely several characters. The characters they didn't reboot, they condensed down to where like their backstories happen over the course of like 4 to 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Which, for characters like Batman, they kind of kept that all around, but he just went through those 8 years. Sucked.
Crazy. Yeah, that's crazy 8 years.
Rough 8 years for Batman.
It was a rough 8 years.
And I, like, say what you will about New 52 and, like, its success, but I feel like Rebirth is really kind of nailing it with...
Rebirth is so much better.
Reintroducing kind of like, okay, we're undoing the reboot, kind of. But the reason that... Because, like, we kind of had this brainstorm idea on... Nerd Up of just like, oh, what if this? Because I was talking with Zach, one of the fans from Podzilla and CCW on Messenger, because we were just talking about, he messaged me about the giant picture of my 8 weeks worth of comics that I'm backlogged on, and just kind of asked me like what I was reading and stuff. And I had that realization of like, I would probably be reading a lot more Marvel if I knew what the hell was going on. And I say that as someone who at least loosely follows the majority of what goes on in comics, like between Marvel and DC.
Yeah.
But so much has changed in such almost, it feels like a short amount of time, that it is very, it can be incredibly daunting to try to jump into a Marvel property.
Yeah.
Right now. And that's kind of where it's like, so at what point do you, a total reboot could be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and it could be beneficial for Marvel, but because, like I said, they've tried to mitigate that problem by releasing, like, you know, new number ones all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, they've done in the last, I would say in the last, like, 10 years, they have released a new set of number ones, like, as an event situation. Mm-hmm. At least that I could think of off the top of my head, four times.
Yeah, I'm thinking like there's like three times per character because they're not necessarily all at the same time.
Right.
Some of them are, but there are like that new, the Captain America series. Is that like issue 17 or something? Mm-hmm. It's probably higher than that at this point.
Well, no, because they recently started that one back up at number one. Like,
yeah,
that
and that's
one
what
was. Yes, I think they're only on issue like 8.
Oh, is it that low?
Yeah, because they just redid that one with the. Like, that was in the most recent revamp where they started doing the brand new numbers but kept the old numbering.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Captain America, and that was about 7 or 8 months ago now when they did that. So
okay. Yeah,
that
but
makes
so
sense.
They do stuff like that, but even still, like, yeah, you can jump in at a number one, but there's still a lot of history there.
Yep.
That is incredibly dense and hard. And if you have an understanding of, like, oh, yeah, XYZ happening 6 years ago. Those could either have not happened anymore, those could have been totally retconned, those could have been like, oh no, that set the stage for now, like, all of this other stuff has changed around that. So you could have a base knowledge of who Captain America is, but if you're jumping in, like, at that number one, you don't really know about Secret Empire, or him being an old man, or all of these other things that have happened in that universe that...
Yep.
They just kind of assume you know.
Because a lot of those things did happen and, like, remained canon and everything. Like, Captain America is a great example because I'm sure everybody saw, like, it hit social media real hard. Cap there briefly was a member of Hydra.
Mm-hmm.
That did happen, but it wasn't really Cap, and that sort of, like, went on to a different thing. I know, right? And Cap, like,
well,
that ended
up...
Well,
it was, but it wasn't. So it's not, but it is, and I hate comics. Show's canceled. Kindoffunny.com/up-and-comer. The end.
The Hydra version of Captain America died, ish, and that was a different, like, they fought. Hydra Cap and Real Cap fought,
mm-hmm.
But they're the same person. That's
God,
and
yeah,
I...
So.
And
like
that's one of those things.
Myself in the mirror for mistake.
Kind
of. A little. Except if your mirror could respond and also step out of the mirror.
Got
and
it.
Punch you. Yeah, no, it's
like
one of those things like.
Drinking.
Me describing that, like, it sounds bonkers. And Marvel, to their credit, does a really good job of this. Like, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills every time I try to describe something that happened in Marvel that when I read it made complete sense. I enjoyed it, and, you know, it was a fun read. And then I tried to explain it to Asa, and I'm like, all right, now listen.
Yeah.
And then it comes out like what just happened, where, yeah, like Captain America, the real Captain America, fought the Hydra Captain America, and that is a thing that happened. Mm-hmm. And when I was reading it, it was awesome.
Right, and that's the thing about comics is, like, in a bubble, like, it's hard to, without all of the context and the art and every bit of that storytelling, loses a lot in translation.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like, and that basically, that describes, like, the entirety of the Spider-Verse event, like,
yeah.
The first one.
Yeah.
Because then you finally read through that, right?
Yeah. I still think Silk is bad fan fiction, but less than I did whenever it was just you describing it to me.
Yeah, because, like, my description was not inaccurate, just lacking so much context. But yeah, no, that's what happens in comic books, especially in Marvel. So
this is why I don't read Marvel very much.
Yeah, it's I understand it's difficult, like it's daunting, like Asa said, and like we've said before, like we did an entire episode on how to get into comics, and Marvel was a significant portion of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's just a lot of dense history there.
Yeah.
So the idea between, like, and we're just kind of all pitching our ideas of, like, how it should be. Because I don't necessarily, the more I think about it, the more hard it would be to just do that reboot. Because I remember how mad a lot of DC fans were. And because this would be, like, a lot of people, like, listening to this, like, this is a terrible idea. You should never reboot Marvel. And I kind of agree. But I think that the way, especially now that DC has turned it almost into a storytelling device,
mm-hmm.
Marvel could just bite that. Because, like, my idea would be, which now, thinking back to all of the characters that they have brought back, because, like, for a while, Thor was Jane Foster, because Odin's son was totally depowered.
Yep.
And essentially, like, kind of...
Hammerless.
Yeah. Hulk was dead for a stretch there.
Yeah, he got killed in Civil War II.
Iron Man was dead for a stretch there. Like, all of these main heavy hitters, which now that they're slowly... And Wolverine was dead, like... But now they just keep kind of bringing them back, just adding more layers onto this, like, impenetrable shell of...
convolutedness.
Who is this character and what are they stand for? I kind of think it would be a neat idea to have Captain America ends up with the Infinity Gauntlet and the stones, and he sees how all of this plays out and is just like, all my friends die. These are the times we have failed. I can fix this. And he just snaps back to, like, midway through the initial Avengers run. So then you still have, like, there's still history there, but we're skipping, you know, Thor turning into a normal dude. Like, things like the Golden Era stuff that's kind
of
since been retconned anyway.
Yeah.
But then you kind of have the baseline of, okay, well, Peter Parker's still a teenager. The X-Men are, it's that original team still. Like, just go back and kind of then you can restart with all new stories based on, and you could even kind of play with it of, like, something seems wrong. Like, something's, like, not quite right. Or, like, Ultimate started as a great idea of that, but then it started to lean into, oh, we can do whatever we want. Let's just get gratuitous with everything.
Yeah, that was a big problem with the Ultimate Universe. So many people die.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just, and it's not just, you know, like, the soft kind of dying that happens in the main universe, like, oh, the 616. Like,
they Bruce Willis.
They do what?
They Bruce Willis.
They Bruce Willis.
They die hard.
I walked into that, and I deserve that. And I hate myself.
Next time you're going to have to sit on this side, because you're right now you're in the Dalton chair.
Oh, yeah.
It might just be seeping into you.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, because honestly, like, basically what just happened there was a ping pong match. You lofted it right back at him, really, and he just...
I really did.
Wham! Spiked it right back down.
So you're telling me, like, Ultimate Universe is like Game of Thrones.
A little.
You're not wrong.
Like, horribly.
Because it's one of those things, like, no character had plot armor.
No, I kind of like that, though. I know you can't, like, that doesn't work for longevity in mm-hmm. comics, but, man, it just makes for a good initial story.
And see, I like, the way that Marvel's been doing it lately, I feel like it can, because Asa mentioned, like, all those characters went down, but you had, like, Jane Foster as Thor is probably the best Thor storyline we have gotten in decades,
mm-hmm.
Or prior, anyway.
How high
we've
was
had
that bar before the Let's be honest.
It was popular.
It wasn't low.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, especially, like, Golden and Silver Age Thor were...
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he died down a little bit because he was, you know, kind of goofy. But regardless, Jane Foster as Thor, phenomenal stuff. Riri Williams came... Well, actually, we got Riri Williams, and we got the best Doom story of all time with Infamous Iron Man. I loved it.
I loved it. I just don't know if I don't know if I can say it's the best Doom story.
I dug it. I dug it so hard.
I can't think
hard.
Of a specific Doom story off the top. He's just such a great character.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
no,
like,
but no, it is, but you're right. It is fantastic, and it I will even with Secret Wars, I think it's the most interesting he's been in a while.
Definitely.
Just because once you get that reveal of why he's trying to be a hero now, just chef kiss. It's so good.
It's fantastic. And yeah, like, that even preceding it, they had a little bit of God Doom. Was like, that actually made Secret Wars really interesting. Like, mm-hmm. they did good work with Doom there for a minute. But yeah, and Riri Williams was awesome, like, mm-hmm. In the Iron Man role. They had Mary Jane Watson involved in that, which was really cool. Then you had, well, Hulk not so much, because I don't know why, but I cannot get into Amadeus Cho. I just don't care about that kid.
I don't know much about the Amadeus Cho Hulk other than it's not as good.
He's totally awesome.
Mm-hmm. It was a Hulk for the younger generation.
Oh.
The name of the book was actually Totally Awesome Hulk.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah. Because he was that, like...
Was it lit?
But at the same time, like... But at the same time, like, he's an annoying... He's, like, an obnoxious teenager. So, yeah, I'm the Totally Awesome Hulk.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it fit, but yeah, it's just, it never
I wasn't the audience for it, mm-hmm. and that was the problem. Especially, I think, like, that followed, like, an Invincible or Indestructible Hulk line or storyline that was really good, but...
That was Mark Waid.
Yeah.
That was real good.
It was a Mark Waid Hulk run that was phenomenal. But yeah, no, like, you can do that. Like, you can replace these characters and, like, actually tell compelling stories, and it works. People get mad about it. But, you know, there's the silent majority that's buying the crap out of the comic books.
Mm-hmm. People get mad when you change anything, though.
Well, you turn... Really, you, if,
series of old people, oh, really mad.
If,
right,
if you add representation into a book, then that's just the SJWs have won. And that's not what that's not what Marvel's about. Because I haven't picked up a Marvel book ever.
Yeah. Anytime I see that, you know, like Marvel and SJWs have won, or they've taken over Marvel, it's like, man, Captain America was punching Nazis
before it was cool. Like, that's his origin. He's just fighting Nazis.
And KKK. Sure. Like, I have seen Cap punch Klansmen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The X-Men is about the civil rights movement. Like, that's...
See, I would have people argue... I have friends who would argue that that's more about the... gay community movement.
They would be incorrect.
I got a... a bunch of, older gay friends were, like, found a kindred spirit in the X-Men,
and that's fair. Like, it can easily represent pretty much any
oppressed class,
minority, and like that can apply now. But yeah, definitely back then it was absolutely written like very clearly as a an analogy to the civil rights movement.
An allegory for the civil rights movement. Yeah,
allegory. We're gonna go with allegory.
That's smart.
You did things. I'm so proud.
Because, yeah, I mean, it goes down to even, like, Magneto, Malcolm X, Xavier as Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. It's...
Mutie being the M word.
Yeah. Because they actually said, like, the M word for Mutie back in the 60s.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no, that's something that happened.
That's not even thinly veiled at all.
No.
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 No, it was not. Like, this was...
Subtle as a punch to the jaw.
Yeah.
But, you know, back then, people kind of needed it.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, no, that's one of those things.
Back then.
Marvel has been all about, like, the social justices and stuff since its inception. Like, you get some, like, books that are written by people, and they kind of come out, like, sometimes in Marvel, but regardless.
I would say more so in Marvel than DC.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Though Superman also, and Klansman.
Superman, legit in the real world that we live in, is not even slightly responsible for the fall of the KKK in popularity. Like, he had a significant role in that.
Yep, he really did, back in the Golden Age.
Yeah.
That was like the comic book came out that Superman was against the KKK. And
it was a radio. It was a radio show.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
It was the radio show where Superman started fighting the KKK, and like everyone's like, "Wait, Superman doesn't like the KKK? Well, screw those guys."
Superman don't like them.
There are other factors to it, and that's like a whole other show. But yeah, Superman is responsible for like. He gets like half a point.
We could easily do, yeah, and like I would give him a full point.
That's fair.
He got full credit for that portion. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, we could do an entire show about like Marvel's impacts on culture and like where they've kind of stood. And I rest assured though, the SJWs have been there from day one. Like,
they outnumber you. Like you are on the wrong side of history in just so many ways here.
So yeah. Different show. We'll move past it for now. I don't know where we
were talking about, like
there.
how they replaced the characters. So like,
oh yeah,
Riri
yeah.
Williams,
and then
was
you had the Wolverine.
You
had X-23 or Laura, and for Wolverine, that's one of my favorite books. Like coming out of that era, and like the all new Wolverine book by Tom Taylor. Holy crap, that book was awesome. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It has a couple of my like. Top moments in comic books for me, like in terms of comedy, at the very least, like the scene that I've told you about where like these random burglars.
Yeah. It gets upvoted every time it's posted on Reddit because it makes me chuckle.
And you've probably seen it too, Trevor, like these random burglars just come into a window. Like they were going to break into this apartment and start stealing
stuff. It's a random apartment. They're just breaking in.
Yeah. Just random guys breaking in. They walk in, they see Old Man Logan, Laura, and Laura's clone sister, Gabby. And Gabby looks at him like, "Are you guys burglars?" Gabby being like 12 years old, like this little girl.
But the way her face is drawn, and you can just tell the tone, is just sheer joy.
Just childlike wonder and excitement.
Are you guys burglars?
And then they're just
she's like, because castle doctrine. Stand your ground. I'm going to eat.
So then, yeah, there's an exchange with the burglars, and then the three of them, like, Logan's just like, all right, I'm going to give you guys a couple of minutes to just walk out the window. And they acted like they're still going to rob the place. Like, oh, no. And it's fantastic. There's a few moments like that in that book that are just really good. So,
like,
yeah.
Skyrim, when the guy who absorbed a dragon's soul gets mugged by the three thugs.
Who just saw him fight the dragon. Like, yeah, we can take him.
We can take him.
Yeah, we got this. Oh, my God. Yeah, no, just a really, really good book. So, like, Marvel has shown that, like, they can still tell compelling stories without those characters, mm-hmm. is the point I was trying to make, because some of those are some of the best stories we've had in a while. Mm-hmm. People, like, there was, you know, a very vocal minority that was against, I want Logan, Tony, and I want Odinson. They probably wouldn't have said Odinson.
Those old Which, comic books still exist. Go reread them.
Yeah. See, and that's, but I think there isn't, like, there is something to be said for fans like that, not because they don't want things to be changed or because they don't want representation, but, you know, at the same time, like, Tony has been Iron Man for forever.
Right.
And there's something, and we even, like, have talked about it on Nerd Up and stuff, where it's like, yeah, if just starting a new character kind of from scratch is incredibly difficult to get new, to bring new eyes on.
Yeah.
The majority of new books that start featuring a new character are canceled because they just don't find.
Yeah, just look at the new age of DC heroes.
Exactly.
There's like one left.
Yeah.
Out of like how many, what, like 13 started
up or
something like
that?
Yeah, there's
a bunch that started,
like
only a couple or a few are left. But, but it's that thing. So, but at the same time, like, man, you can tell stories with these characters if you just kind of stick by it, because I do think that eventually, like, the talent will find its way. Like, it will become, it'll be recognized. But at this, so, you know, but does it need to happen at the expense of this established franchise? And that's kind of where I think this reboot could almost come in, of like, not like, it would almost be like rebooting the Ultimate Universe, but not just doing it differently. Because, like, on the one hand, like, there's so much history there and so much has gone on, it would be a shame to get rid of it all. It would make it more accessible, but at the same time, like, it's hard to do that. But if you could put, like, the Ultimate Universe, or even do it as like a major story arc that literally affects every book.
Marvel's like, or like, terrible at doing that.
Oh, they're awful at it. Oh, yeah, no. This is all like best case scenario, like what if situation. Like, if Secret Wars would have ended with Reed Richards reshaping the universes, but the reason I picked Captain America earlier is because since he's the one that, like, the whole never say die, never give up, for him, I think it would be a super interesting dynamic to have him be like, I think we've lost. And to engage in that kind of line of thinking and then try to go back and change things. And yeah, I know I'm kind of pitching a time travel thing, but it's not really time travel. Shut up. I'm justifying it in my own head.
He just said time travel, Jesse.
But to have him try to go and maybe have other people kind of like, stuff doesn't feel right. Like this, and then have that kind of be a, and then they have to go through and undo it.
Basically, do your New 52 into Rebirth situation that
right.
way. Which there is precedent there for Captain America doing stuff like that. Like, there was the Hydra Cap was going to use the cube to basically reshape society into a perfect utopia, you know, where the Nazis won. but you know, in a very Captain America kind of way.
Right.
Like, it's difficult to describe because, yeah, he was a member of Hydra, but he also, like, he very quickly came out against, like, Red Skull and, what's his name?
Zola?
Zemo.
Okay.
Baron Zemo, because he was the other, like, big character in that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very quickly came out against both of them and was like, no, we don't want to hate people. I want everyone to live in peace and harmony.
Right. It's me when I'm Superman.
Exactly. And that's what his goal was with the cube. He was just going to rewrite the world to...
See, he gets it.
Hydra Cap gets it.
I mean, Anakin had some good ideas. But then with Reed Richards, kind of the same thing. Like, okay, he's, you know, got all the, he's got the god power now, him and Franklin.
Yeah.
I always think it's Benjamin, and I know that's not right.
Well, because, him and his entire family are up there, Sue and the kids.
Yeah, so, like, so the the Richardses, I kept wanting to say Storms, and I knew that wasn't right. The Richardses decide to, like, okay, yeah, no, we're just going to put things back to how, look what happened. Doom became God, literally. We can probably stop that from kicking in.
And then you have, like, all sorts.
And that could have been their flashpoint.
True. And, yeah, no, like, they could have been the, what they've been hinting at is, you know, Dr. Manhattan's influence created the New 52. Like, that could have been that situation. Like, right. The Richards tried that, and then, you know, everything went awry, and, you know, it's got to be, it ends up getting taken back to normal via the, like, a cosmic cube or, you know, the Infinity Gauntlet or something like that. So, yeah, I mean, that's very plausible method of reboot. My personal preference, like, if they were going to do, like, I would just like to see a different Ultimate Universe. Call it something different.
Yeah. But just start kind of from scratch there with the...
Yep. Start from scratch there with, like, a little bit of established history on, like, you know, the big characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give us, like, don't use all new either. I don't know. I can't. The Amazing Universe or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So then everything is amazing. All right. Something along those lines.
Yeah.
Redo, like, the Avengers completely. Give us a new Hulk story. Basically, like, what they did with the MCU, modernize everything and, you know, redo it in this universe. Which, like, they've kind of done soft versions of-ish in terms of, like, Spider-Gwen. She is Spider-Woman in her universe. It's Gwen Stacy. But she lives in a universe where, like, a lot of similar things have happened. A lot of similar characters exist. Like, the Punisher exists, Captain America exists, though, as a girl. Then you, like, all these characters exist in different ways, and it's a lot more, like, of a modern version of them. But there's only one book coming out of that universe, and it's Spider-Gwen.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So, I mean, you could do something along those lines, is how I would like to, see that overall reboot go.
See, as somebody who doesn't read Marvel, and so I don't have as many things to pull from, but I have the way I want it rebooted, which is since with modern stuff going on right now, I think like
Trevor, is your microphone on?
I don't know, distinctly possible.
No.
Oh no.
My microphone has not been on this whole. You have the computer.
I feel like because you've been spiking, like really? It's been on.
Really? No, the switch has been off this entire time.
Ooh.
Well, it works out because I really haven't said much at all this whole show.
Because I could have sworn, like, even in the pre-show, I was looking and it looked like you were making noise.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious! Yeah, like half hour in, I'm on, folks. Hey, what's up? How you guys doing?
I mean, people could still hear you. It was just like that particular part was like, you know, really quiet,
really, really quiet.
And I think it was because you were just further away from Ace's microphone than you had been up to that point. And Ace's microphone had been picking it up for the most part.
Oh wait, nope. Okay, mine's on.
Yours is definitely on.
Anyway.
I would think we were in the laptop right now.
I think since the death of Stan Lee, I want the entire Marvel universe to slowly start unraveling. Like, it's just like a slow process. Like little things are out of place. They start figuring out, like, complex mathematics don't make sense anymore. And the universe is, like, slowly crumbling.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that is the catalyst for the reboot of the Marvel universe. Because the creator is now gone.
And they do have, there is precedent for the creator.
Yeah.
Because there's actual gods in Marvel, but then there's also just like the
Watchers, like, and the. Mm-hmm.
What? Me and my coworker went through like the top most powerful like superheroes list the other day, and the most powerful is like the creator of Marvel, or I forget what it's called. It's basically God, but the inside joke is it's Stan Lee.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's made an appearance once or three times in the comics.
Oh, has he?
Oh, yeah. For what? Has he? No, I'm thinking of the fan theory. Never mind.
Mm. So that's what I want. I want the entire universe to start unraveling.
That would be really neat.
That's also, like, and this is like a tangent, but like that's always been something that I thought would be fascinating to see in a superhero book or a superhero story where there's not some big bad. There's not a actual villain. There's no one to punch in the face to fix the problems. This is a fundamental just, nope.
The machine is breaking
down. The machine is breaking, and there's literally nothing you can do to stop it.
So like, it would just be everybody scrambling to come with a solution.
Right. It would very much have to be like an Elseworld story or a multiverse story or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And No, we didn't. Because I was going to say Dark Knight's Metal, but it was very much caused by... someone.
Yeah, but like something similar to like Dark Knight's metal, as everything's like breaking down and kind of getting pulled in, and maybe Cap and everybody has to go in and try to, I don't know, use the most powerful objects in all of Marvel Universe to try to reverse this breaking of the machine.
The it wasn't Dark Knight's metal, it was the source wall breaking.
Yes. Yeah.
It was it was caused by this thing happening, but now this is a thing that has now happened and now we have to deal with it.
Which only comic book run I think that's dealing with that is Justice League.
It's the all three of the Justice League books are dealing with it.
Yeah. Odyssey, Dark, and Prime, whatever you want to call it.
The main book. Because there's three different Justice League teams and they're the only ones dealing with it, versus like that was one of those things that DC talked about that they were going to do in this run of comic books, like in Rebirth anyway. And Rebirth just in general, the big events like that were gonna be very contained. Which is why you saw like Batman off world, like dying, trying to solve all this stuff in one book, and in the other book he was going on a double date with Clark.
Yeah. And that
that all happened in his head when he was strapped into the machine.
It's one of those things where there's no good way to do it.
No.
Because it's that where it's like, yeah, no, the world is literally crumbling around everyone and no one's noticing in their individual books. But at the same time, Scott Snyder's kind of an insane person, it turns out. And all of these, like, it was supposed to lead to this new age of heroes, which seemingly bombed entirely.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer because there were some really cool ideas coming out of it. Like, a couple of the ones, and granted, I'm part of the problem because I didn't continue to buy the ones that I thought were interesting.
Yep.
Because I didn't think they were interesting enough to have to actually, like, to spend that money on. There was other books that...
I wasn't even aware of any of the, like, the new hero books.
Oh, yeah. Brimstone, Sidewinder, The Terrifics, the there's a bunch of...
It's 100% the first I'm hearing of this. So I blame DC's advertising Silencer. On that.
It was everywhere in their books mostly. But
even in Dark Knight's metal, like it kept advertising like New Age of DC heroes.
Yeah,
and it had like that. You remember like the big Rocky guy was the first one that came out, and that was
That was the one. That was the one that I actually didn't really care for.
Because what was his name?
That wasn't Brimstone.
It was something super edgy.
Yeah, I'm just gonna look it up because I'm never gonna think of it.
Yeah,
because I don't remember. He was
Hulk, but on a timer.
Huh.
Yeah, it was weird. It was like Hulk and the Thing, but like classic Thing where he like put on a ring and became like Ben Grimm put on a ring or something like that and became a big rock guy. I say classic Thing, that old TV show that was awful. it's an old cartoon, really old cartoon. But anyway, he was a weird character.
Damage.
That was it. Super edgy.
Boo.
And then they're like
Damage. Sideways.
I understand why this died hard then.
Damage, Silencer, Sideways, The Terrifics, The Immortal Men. That one actually sounded really cool, and I'm kind of bummed that I didn't get it.
Yeah.
The Curse of Brimstone, New Challengers, The Unexpected, and I think that was it. Yeah, I think that was it.
Hmm.
Pass.
But I've heard, like, Terrifics I know is still going. I actually think Curse of Brimstone is still going.
I don't even
know. It wouldn't surprise me. It was one of the later ones anyway.
I don't remember, The Unexpected, New Challengers.
I may have to look at, like,
Immortal Men sounded really, really cool. I hope that one might still be going, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd heard pretty good things about all of them. It's just, I guess they weren't selling.
Right, and, like, that was the problem. Like, it's the problem with doing anything with a new IP. Like, new IPs these days are super risky, and nobody wants to take the risk when they can just slap, you know, Spider-Man or Wolverine's name on it, or Batman.
Yeah.
They can slap any of those names on it, and it'll sell a million copies.
It's true.
Versus, you know, like, they're going to try and do something new. They even, with the new age of DC heroes, like, one of the things that you can do in comic books to kind of mitigate that is put huge names behind it.
I say put good writers behind it.
Yeah, for the creative team. And that's what DC did. They brought in, like, dumb amounts of money for, like, some crazy creative teams. Because there were a couple of them that I bought issue one of for the creative team alone.
Mm-hmm. I think the Terrifics or the Immortal Men was one of those. Because the team was just stupid.
Yeah, because there was, I know, like, Tinian had one, King didn't have one.
I would have bought that one probably if King had one.
Yeah, but I don't think he did. I want to say Snyder had one. There was a bunch of just crazy creative teams in on this, like, and even like stuff that I'm not necessarily a fan of, but like huge names in the comic book
just
world.
Just going through the writers, not even talking about artists. Tony Daniel, John Romita Jr., Kenneth Rocafort and Dan Didio, Ivan Reis, Jim Lee, Philip Tan, Andy Kubert and Scott Snyder were on New Challengers.
That was one of the ones that was huge.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, incredible, incredible talent on. Yeah,
like every single one of those names, like, there's a name or two there that like people haven't heard of, but like if anybody kind of like even idly reads comic books, they know at least three of those names.
That Jim Lee book, mm-hmm. The Immortal Men, that was with Tinian the Fourth.
Yeah, no, that was another one that was, yeah.
How was that just not on my pull list? Maybe I forgot. I didn't realize who was writing it.
No, because I remember us talking about it specifically. because Jim Lee and Tinian the Fourth,
I need to reboot my pull list.
Like, that's, yeah.
Yeah, you need to add more comics to that stack in your room.
Speaking of reboots, hey, don't judge me. How's your mic doing?
Better now?
No, that's squarely on me. If it's been off this entire time, like, that's my fault. I should have told him in the pre-show.
Nobody caught my witty banter in the pre-show.
I mean,
these are the episodes I want them to listen to. We can't be missing the mics being off.
You can still hear Trevor.
It's true. My voice carries.
He was just a little quiet. And I'm sure I'm going to get a message tomorrow morning.
Hey, is Trevor's mic off?
Like, hey, just so you know, Trevor's mic was off. Like, oh, never mind. It's fixed.
Well, luckily for like the first half of the show, I think I don't think I contributed hardly at all.
Yeah, you didn't say much.
You guys know so much more about Marvel than me. So I just kind of shut up.
you can play the part of the curious audience member. Basically, you can do exactly what the listeners would be doing right now.
So Jesse, are these comics we're talking about, or the TV series,
or the movies? Right,
or
Trevor?
Or the movies?
Trevor thought we were going to talk about rebooting the MCU.
Dude, I totally thought we were talking about that.
I mean, honestly, like coming out of Endgame. We're losing all the stars, yeah, allegedly.
That's the other reason I thought. And DC, Lord knows, could use a reboot, with the exception of Gal Gadot.
They're working on it.
They actually legitimately are.
Suicide Squad.
Affleck's out as Batman. Squad's a reboot.
Well,
it's gonna be focused on a younger Batman too. So it's not just like they're gonna recast like John Hamm, even though they should.
Yes.
Let him be Batman and Superman.
Yes.
In like a Christmas with Kingdom the Clumps. Like style. Ain't that old. But just like have him play all the roles. John Hamm is Lex Luthor. Yeah, I'm on board. Just give him all the characters. But yeah, DC is complete ultimate is like totally redoing their.
Well, I know they're recasting, but are like, could they reboot like the universe? Because I mean, they've already had Ben Affleck as Batman in the series. You know, could they do a reboot that makes sense in the universe to recast him, several others, but somehow keep Gal Gadot?
No, but
Jason
they're gonna
Momoa?
Like, and that's the thing is like, okay, so Gal Gadot and Jason Momoa, because you're making my points for me from Sunday.
Yeah,
like those were good.
That is correct.
Those were fine.
Those were good things.
Also, I'm gonna pull us back into Marvel now because
I
was making a joke about talking about the movies, and here we are.
But like legit though, like at least for the MCU, like. There could be some, like, and I still kind of think it might happen, where there's some effery with either, like, the Reality Stone or the Time Stone or something, and that this is the last we see of Chris Evans, Hemsworth, Robert Downey Jr., maybe Mark Ruffalo, maybe Jeremy Renner, like, any of those, like, main ones that we've gotten more than two movies out of, I feel like are at legitimate risk. And they could either just be done with those characters and move on to like a new Avengers type thing that we kind of got that tease of after Civil War.
Yep.
Or they could just recast.
Marvel has shown that they're not opposed to recasting. Granted, it was very early in the foundation.
Yeah.
When they recast Hulk.
They recast Hulk. They recast Rhodes. Mm-hmm. There's been a few recasts in the MCU from the very, very early
and
stuff.
And especially now that you have the whole X-Men Fantastic Four still looming on the outsides, ready to be brought in.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be real. Endgame could be real interesting.
Could be. It certainly could be. The only one we really know is completely safe is Spidey.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we know that.
But anyway, moving back into comic books here for a minute. So we did get a little bit of that fan interaction that I was talking about earlier, so I want to talk about that for a minute.
What do the fans say, Jesse?
All right. Well, one of the ones we got on Facebook, they wanted the original original lineup of the New Mutants rebooted. And I guess just the original Mutants and the New Mutants. It's very specific.
Okay, you're going to have to like break that down to me when you say the original New Mutants.
Yeah, the OG New Mutants, like way back in the 80s, was Cannonball, Karma, Mirage, Sunspot, and Wolfsbane.
Okay.
Which are some real obscure X people.
Yeah.
Sunspot was actually leading an Avengers team for a minute. Trying to think of what these people have been doing. Wolfsbane recently had some appearances in the Wolverine stuff when Wolverine was coming back.
Makes sense.
I haven't heard anything out of Mirage in forever, or Karma, or Cannonball. No, Cannonball was in an X-Men team recently too, I think.
I'm not the guy to back that up.
Yeah, I don't know. At least they're all still alive. Well,
that we're aware of.
They're alive. They haven't
been.
They
just don't have comics.
Since the original New Mutants, and now their state of aliveness has been in flux. I know at the very least that Mirage died, and I'm pretty sure that Cannonball and Wolfsbane have died too. But they've all come back because comic books. I don't know how they were resurrected. I just know sometimes when a resurrection happens in Marvel to a more obscure character, they just kind of never died.
Just hope nobody noticed.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of like sweeping under the rug in comic books in general. Because there'll be like, didn't this happen to you? Like, I love it when writers make nods about it. Like, didn't this happen to you at one point? Yeah, we don't talk about it.
See, I equal points, like, it depends on the character, and I guess probably my mood. Because sometimes, like, hey, yeah, that's funny, I get that reference. And other times, it's like, we're being cute about it now. like the dude from Bethesda going on stage at E3, like, do our games not work in the early stages? And then they put out Fallout 76.
Oh, my God. Which still doesn't work. But anyway.
Yeah, stuff like that. It's like sometimes you get a pass. Other times,
I feel like it also depends on the situation. Like, if they had just kind of like hand waved, for example, like going to DC or something like that, they had just hand waved Jason Todd coming back to life. Like, that would have been really silly. They gave us a backstory on how it happened, but nobody was real happy about it. They would have been so much more angry about it.
If he just showed up, like, hey, Bruce.
If he just showed up and they hand-waved it, and then, like, if they had made a joke about it, because they have made several jokes about, like, Jason Todd dying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, like...
Stuff like that where they actually, like, explain that it's, you know, this is a thing that's happened, it's part of the character's history, we've moved past it, it's fine. I'm talking just, like...
Okay, the hand-wave
stuff? The hand-wave stuff, because that does still happen.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. And, yeah, no, you're right. Like, I do feel differently about, like, when a hand-wave happens and maybe they try to be cute about it.
Maybe that's the difference.
Yeah, versus when, like... Yeah, because I know in Batman books, they've made the joke about, like, of the Bat family, more than half of them have died.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, at the very least...
Of the core, like the Batman and the Robins, yes.
Yeah. Of those five, three have died.
Yeah. Bruce died, Damian died, Jason died.
I don't think Dick has been actually dead.
No, but he did get shot in the head. Now he's Rick.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's even still going on because
I haven't read any
Batman
since
then. That's a rage blind spot for me.
That's a Dalton question.
Technically, he didn't die. Everyone thought he was dead.
Tim,
yeah. Oh boy.
Yeah, that was
a moment.
That was a rough moment in Detective.
That was a series of moments.
But anyway, so yeah, like it's they're real cute with that sometimes. And like I said, when it's explained, it's funny, but when it's just like hand wavy, like yeah, everybody's been dead.
Hey, didn't you used to have what happened to your left hand?
So I think it depends on like how long ago, how long it's been since that character died.
That's true.
Been
too.
Like
if they put
5 years, 10 years, we're bringing back like a super obscure like mutant from you know the '70s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever. Yeah, whatever. Hand wave it. I don't care.
So back on topic though, New Mutants. Yeah, it's just a really, really specific group of people to bring back.
Which makes me think this person doesn't like this new run of the New Mutants.
Which I've heard reasonably good things about.
Yeah, I'm about 2 issues in. I got a backlog of them. I'm reading it. I've enjoyed the couple issues I've read.
Yeah, I've read like I think the first 2 issues, and it's been solid. Like,
but I never read the original.
But it's yeah. It's a different type of story entirely. The New Mutants eventually like formed into X-Force at some point, and they got even more violent because they were pretty violent to begin with.
They're pretty violent now.
Yeah.
Solidly violent.
Yeah. Well, yeah, aren't they being led by? What's her name? Magic?
Yes, I think. I don't know. It's been
big
legit.
Old sword teleports and stuff.
Yeah.
Little dragon buddy.
Yeah, that was it. I'm sword chick. It's been like 3 months since I've read it.
Yeah, Ileana Rasputin. That's her name.
That's it.
Yeah. Magic sword chick, or just magic for short. For short.
Yeah.
That's she another cool, thing I like that her. I think like reboots can really help with are teams.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's it? Name someone on the Avengers. You got a 90% shot of being right.
Yeah, if you just name Marvel character.
In someone Marvel, yeah. Same thing, like X-Men, X-Force, other teams. I'm blanking. I keep wanting to say Fantastic Four.
That's had several people on it.
Yeah,
like,
but
it's not
like,
just the OG.
It's the least egregious of the one that I'm thinking of.
It's true, because like, there's been like, when it comes to teams, there really are like two main ones, the X-Men and the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had like other teams, but like they're more describing groups of people.
But they're
like,
all subsets of those two teams,
right?
Because then you have New Avengers, West Coast Avengers, Young Avengers, X Force, X Men Red, X Men Blue, X Men Gold.
Yeah, no, it's all like it's X Men and Avengers.
Yeah,
and I mean it's just, yeah, like that's a thing in comic books,
which is fine. But when you're trying to just like keep track of like a specific character, or you find a group of people that you really like. Like, whenever I really enjoyed one of the Marvel Now, All New, All Different, one of the Thunderbolts teams was super cool. And I really dug that run. And they're like, hey, we're bringing back Thunderbolts. And I was like, awesome. I loved that run. And then I saw the team. Like, you, none of you are the Thunderbolts.
Yep.
I mean, you're all the Thunderbolts, yes, but you're not my Thunderbolts. Give me back that team.
Because there was a Thunderbolts team in... I think it was Marvel Now, the Thunderbolts team. Then because it was like
Punisher,
Red Hulk,
Hulk,
Punisher, Deadpool, Elektra, Agent Venom, and somebody else.
The Hulk villain with the big head.
Ooh.
He was Hulk, but instead of strong, he was smart. Leader.
No, it was he wasn't actually on the team, but I know. Oh God, what was his name? Leader. Because it was a word like that, but he's not a Hulk or anything. He was just super smart.
No, but his powers were essentially like the same thing that happened to the Hulk happened to
this guy.
But instead of his muscles getting big and him being strong,
he gets brainy.
His brain got big, literally, because his head. That's why his head's that big is because his brain is so massive.
Mm-hmm.
And he got like telekinetic.
Yeah,
powers.
No, you're right. It was Leader.
Leader, yeah.
How else would the reader know he was super smart?
Exactly. I loved that run. It was dumb. And again, like this was B movie popcorn stupid action, but I loved it.
Hey man, I love that cheese.
The first artist for that killed that book for me.
Oh really?
I had to wait until they got a new artist before I could actually read it, because I don't remember who it was. I want to say it was Greg Land, but I'm positive that's not it.
I don't know.
Some like whoever was doing the art on that, it was just bad. I read a lot of it like. It had a couple of my favorite moments, like whenever Leader was, you know, introduced onto the team-ish, like Red Hulk was keeping him a secret.
Mm-hmm.
And Deadpool said, like, ooh, Frank's not going to be happy when he finds out about this. Fast forward, like, 3 pages, and Frank sees Leader and immediately puts a bullet in his head.
Yeah.
Just, like, no, like, talking, nothing. Like, Frank sees him and is like, oh, it's Leader. Pow.
He did the exact same thing in Civil War.
Oh yeah, because it was the villains that were helping, like they joined Cap's side.
Yeah,
they were helping out, and Frank just sees the villains.
Oh, murderers! Bang, bang!
And then Cap's like, "What are you doing?" That was the first time that Frank actually felt bad for his actions, because Cap scolded him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you get scolded by Cap,
fight back.
You in trouble.
Not you.
Yeah. That was the one man that Frank respected, like, absolutely.
Yep.
Was Captain America. But anyway, so New Mutants, I guess, like, I could see that branching from, like, an X-Men run. Like, it would be really weird right now for them to just reboot New Mutants. But, yeah, I could see if you saw a universe reboot, you want to see that original squad come back. That makes sense. It was a good book. Mm-hmm. And those are interesting characters. So, yeah, no, I, that's fine. We also got the Kool-Aid Man. I didn't know he was a Marvel character. If we got an ongoing with the Kool-Aid Man, I don't know if I would do an ongoing. I would read a miniseries about the Kool-Aid Man in the Marvel Universe. Just busting down walls and giving sugar water to kids. He's a villain.
This is gonna say, yeah, these are not the actions of a hero.
And he ends up having to get stopped
The Avengers have to track down the Kool-Aid Man.
In this reboot, the Kool-Aid Man shows up as a villain for the first Avengers team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they get a report about this big dude busting down walls and force-feeding sugar water to kids.
You reboot the universe, and the Kool-Aid Man is Loki. He is that initial threat that the heroes all have to unify their powers to be able to stop.
We can't stop this man alone. We have to unite to beat the Kool-Aid Man.
I'd read it so hard.
It's the Avengers, oh no.
Yeah, I would read the crap out of that. And
I can't believe this happened. Not again. Oh, yeah. And
I never knew I wanted that.
So, thank you. That was a Ciro Viegas, which he still has not told me if I'm saying his name right. At this point, I'm just hoping. He hasn't corrected me.
Mr. Vegas, that's fantastic. Keep him coming.
And then Hunter hit us with a pretty good one. He'd like to see Bruce Banner, that version, maybe update the whole gamma radiation thing. He recommended maybe having it where, like, somehow it's an experiment gone wrong with involving, like, Doom and Reed. Just
like they lump them together in the same accident as the Fantastic Four.
Yeah,
pretty. We need to make it science that we don't understand as well. Because back in the day, we knew very little of gamma rays.
Right.
So, like, yeah, it makes superheroes. That's right.
Sure. Like, and that's great. I think what the Hulk needs more than anything is consistency in his character and his power set.
Yeah.
Because every single time a new creative team takes over some aspect of the Hulk, either it's on a team or on a solo book, they change how that works. Either Banner's totally in control sometimes. They can switch at will. They talk to each other. They can't talk to each other. Hulk is a wordless force of nature. Hulk can put together like sentences and has his own thoughts and opinions and motivations. If you were to reboot the universe, that is one thing that you would need to establish, and that's just how it works now. Personally, I like Earth's Mightiest Heroes, the cartoon. That was not meant for children, but like could have been a children's show, but it's fantastic. It might still be on Netflix. I don't know if it is or not, though.
I know it was for a while.
Mm. And it was amazing, but it very much was like, no, Hulk was just this other personality.
And then like it was, because that was the one where like once a year Banner got his day.
Yeah, Banner got a day where he could go out and stretch his legs, but part of the agreement is Hulk agreed to help the Avengers and be a hero, but he stays in control.
Huh.
But they had moments where they spoke to each other and talked to each other. That's my favorite Hulk, because he's kind of funny, because he's a jerk.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that. But also, at the same time, you don't have to have them be like opposite sides of the coin. They can work together. See Indestructible Hulk, which was incredible. Bruce Banner was bored and solved the world's like water crisis because it was Tuesday. So
he
offered himself as a way to make up for all the bad Hulk had done. He pretty much assigned himself to S.H.I.E.L.D. So they get Bruce Banner, who, again...
And the whole deal was Bruce Banner gets an unlimited budget from S.H.I.E.L.D.
And all of their up-to-date, like, to make all of these scientific breakthroughs to save the world his way. But they could also point the Hulk at their targets. So S.H.I.E.L.D. got a great deal.
Yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D. got arguably the strongest weapon in...
Yeah, they got like a really, really safe tactical nuke And then, you know, Banner builds, Hulk destroys.
Yeah. And that was a fantastic dynamic. It took kind of a weird, like, sideways step that you didn't really see coming, but it was also really cool.
Yep.
Like, I still think that's my favorite Hulk story. Yep. Is that because it didn't last all that long, I don't think.
No, it did not. Because it was going, and it was another one of those books that got cut short by a big, like, world-ending event.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Planet Hulk is probably my favorite version, which is kind of similar to that New Avengers one where Hulk actually, you know, he could talk, form his opinions and everything else. Hulk stays in control, though. Occasionally, he can let Banner out to do, nerdy, puny science man things. And then, you know, back to the Hulk. I liked that version a lot because I like the idea of, you know, Hulk being a separate entity that is intelligent, versus, you know, it maybe be like, set that up as a symptom, like Banner has, you know, multiple personality disorder, and like whenever he gets hit by that experiment, like maybe that's what Reed and Doom are trying to fix. They're trying to find a fix for multiple personality disorder, and they end up creating the Hulk. That could be an interesting dynamic, and
you could almost even like, cause I like the idea of just keeping it cosmic, because that's going to kind of be just a forever, like,
we're never going to really understand cosmic stuff. It's an evergreen. Or at least not in our life.
Like, have them working together. You can still do that kind of split personality thing that he's hiding from them. Like, they don't know that he's not just right, but then you could have it where you could almost do like, so this cosmic radiation kind of like almost leaders him a little bit, where it enhances his, like, the angry side goes Hulk, but like the Banner side actually, like, it kind of gives him a little bit of a mental boost. Like, say he was always, you know, third string to Doom and Richards, but then all of a sudden this cosmic thing happens, and all of a sudden now he's on an even playing field.
But yeah, if he loses his cool, he goes big and green.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that would be cool.
I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, I'd be all right with that. Because I do love the Hulk. He's one of my favorite characters in Marvel. But yeah, no, the inconsistencies are ridiculous. And he suffers, like, even more than Superman, where it's like, Superman is exactly as strong as the plot requires him to be.
Yep.
He is never stronger. So, like, there's never any, like, there's very rarely a big bad that Superman fights where he just trounces him.
Most Justice League stories are just killing time till Superman can get there.
You pretty much,
or wakes up, or comes back, or
because Superman's the cheat code, and then he shows up, and sometimes, you know, like, they'll make him fight it out a little bit and stuff like that, and sometimes they'll do a cute little write-off where it's like, you know, I can't normally put 100% into it, but you could take it, can't you, big guy? Mm-hmm. That was a line from Doomsday, or his fight with Doomsday. Mm-hmm. You get stuff like that, where Superman plot, you know, only ever as strong as the plot requires him to be. Hulk, even like to an nth degree, with that situation, because sometimes, like, they kind of describe it as like the angrier Hulk gets, the stronger he gets.
See, and that's the thing, is like, I kind of give it more of a pass than the Superman thing, because you're absolutely right about Superman. But the Hulk, I do like that idea, and that's one of the things that I really liked about Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, that cartoon, especially in that first arc where they finally, like, bring the Avengers together and they're fighting the tornado dude, who I can't remember his name. But, like, they really put an emphasis on Hulk is the one who comes in and he's like, okay, oh, well, you're a bad thing, I'm going to put you down. Well, that just made Hulk mad. So now he's doing things he couldn't do earlier. The same thing I hit you with, now it doesn't work because you're just madder. Okay, so I'll step my game up. There you go. Oh, nope, that just made you even more mad. And so he doesn't really have that upper limit, but it takes a while for him to build to it.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, he has to keep getting knocked down.
I think that's actually, like, an interesting way to kind of get around that, as opposed to just Superman,
in and just trouncing everybody immediately.
Right.
Yeah, I'm okay with that kind of Hulk.
Not. Because at least they explain it, and I think it's one of those things where it's like, how it's presented makes all the difference.
Yeah, because they do always, like, you know, they always have that conversation of who would win in a fight between, like, Juggernaut and Hulk, just because of the nature of... just because of the nature of their power sets. Sorry, I know, I just breezed right over that.
No, I'm dead.
Anyway.
It was meant to be breezed.
Juggernaut and Hulk, like, you know, you have the common conversation because the Hulk is unstoppable, or the Juggernaut, rather, is unstoppable, and the Hulk is indestructible.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what happens? There's one, like, bit of comic book canon that the Hulk gets so angry that he hits someone so hard that he opens up a black hole to a pocket dimension. And that happened. And then that person goes out the black hole, and that's what would happen to Juggernaut. So the idea is, like, Juggernaut just has to put down the Hulk for good before he gets that mad.
Right.
Because once you make the Hulk angry enough, like, there's no upper limit on his power.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, no, like, that's, it's one of those things, though, like, sometimes you'll see, like, the Hulk will just get, like, slapped, knocked out cold and go straight Banner. Other times you'll see him, he got slapped, knocked out cold, he'll get back up even angrier and stronger. Mm-hmm. And well, that's what I meant by, like, the inconsistency there with strength.
Yeah. Another character that, like, if we're not doing, like, a full universe, if we're just kind of going, like, on a character-by-character basis, for the same kind of reason is Iron Man. Because at this point, Iron Man has every suit for every conceivable scenario, yet he never uses it.
Yeah,
they always have to kind of write themselves in a corner that, oh, he can't talk to Jarvis. He can't actually, like, they don't have access to, you know, the entire armory of...
Yeah, he's got to call in the Hulkbuster real quick.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's at the cleaners, so he can't call it in immediately. So instead, he's got to use the one he just carries with him at all times. And that one, it's quick.
Right.
You know, but it's not just... doesn't have the full protection of, you know, a classic Iron Man suit. Yeah, no, like that's definitely one of those things where they have to find really creative ways to make it to where Iron Man has any kind of a fight.
Because I have no problem with him having specialty suits. Like, I actually think that's one of the cool things about that character.
No, yeah.
That's, it's just a matter of the one-time use only, but then ending up in a similar situation a while down the road, or the sheer, like, oh, he already just had that ready just in case. Of like, that's convenient.
Yeah, he has a lot of the Batman stuff going.
He's a Batman-y.
Because I would love for there to be an Iron Man where he has five suits max. You know, he's got the one that's quick, like he can put it on in a pinch, like as an emergency reserve, but then he has to wait for like his main suit to actually get there.
Right.
Or like he deploys it out of the main suit and it has a strict amount of things that it can do. It's not like Cyborg in the Justice League movie, where all of a sudden his whole shtick is he can just manipulate any sort of technology into whatever he just needs it to be and just creates matter out of nowhere.
Yeah, like, because, you know, apocalypse technology or whatever they wrote it off as. Yeah.
yeah, just like stuff like that. Like little things that really I think could benefit. You know, same thing with like even Thor, like right now, less that the character needs anything done, but like Asgard and like the Seven Realms. Like, a lot of that stuff has really gotten away from you.
Yeah.
Like, reading Unworthy Thor, because I wanted to figure out, like, why he was unworthy, because that was a mystery for years.
Yeah. Just something whispered in his ear, and then, like, no longer could hold the hammer.
OG Nick Fury whispered something in his ear, and all of a sudden just lost the hammer. He lost his worthiness.
Oh, dang.
And couldn't pick it back up.
And
like, yeah.
No one knew what it was. And they went through Jane Foster Thor for a while. Like,
Nick,
no one.
You jerk.
They never addressed it until Unworthy Thor was that's going to be the big reveal. So I read the first issue. Asgard is destroyed. All of this other stuff is in total disarray, but you're aware of this, right? And I'm like, no. What?
Yeah, no, I did the same thing. That required like a solid hour of getting caught up on
Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that wasn't even trying to find like trades and stuff and have to do research. That was just like a lot of digging through comic book resources and like YouTube videos and Wikipedia.
Because they assumed that if you were looking forward to Unworthy Thor, that you were up to date on Thor. And I'm like, but I'm not, though.
Homie, you wrong.
Like, I understand
that. I just like me a good mystery.
I understand that I am wrong about, like, not reading Jane Foster Thor, like, because it's literary masterwork, but, like, I didn't. So I'm going to need a recap. what happened? And, yeah, the answer is a lot. A lot has happened since Thor is no longer worthy. Because Asa says years. No, that was literally, like, what, 4 years? Between Unworthy Thor, like him being unworthy and the Unworthy Thor release.
Original Sin, yeah. No, that wasn't Original Sin. That was right before Original Sin.
I think it was right before Original Sin. Because I think that was like a prelude to it.
Yeah, I keep wanting to say Secret Empire, and I know that was just the one that Captain America, that was the Hydra Cap one.
Yeah, because this was like an early 2010s book where this happened. But yeah, either way, like it had been a while. And in comic book time, so much can happen there, or nothing at all. Depends on, you know, what you're looking at.
Depends on how popular your book is.
Because right. It really feels like some characters have been so static for so long that then they overcorrect. Like, Spider-Man is a great example of that. He was a college, a high school and or college student for decades.
Yeah.
And then in a span of like 2 years.
About to say, in the last 5 years, he's been
a grown adult. He owns his own industry. He's been in and out of his own body. Like,
lost the industry.
Yeah.
he was Tony Stark rich there for a minute. And now he's broke again. And in some storylines, he's a teacher.
Secret Wars.
Was it the first Secret Wars?
Yeah, it was Secret. It was the first Secret Wars. That makes sense. Because that was when original Nick Fury came back.
It's not the first Secret Wars, the second of three.
Jeez, that's a lot to keep up with.
Yeah, again, it's just the whole...
I'm seeing the need for a reboot. Because I think
the first Secret Wars was like back in the long time ago.
Back in the dark times?
Yeah, was Silver Age for the first Secret Wars?
I have no idea. I'm not that.
I'm really bad with like pre.
Well, and they also had like Secret Invasion, and because they Marvel and DC both they like their key phrases on these giant events. Mm. Marvel likes Secret and Wars, and DC
loves their
like
crises.
Crisis, yes,
they are big fans of their crises. Mm-hmm. And their points, but. Regardless, you know, when it comes to like pre 90s Marvel, and even like a lot of the 90s Marvel like timeline stuff, I'm really bad at because I only know most of that stuff from Wikipedia. I haven't read a whole lot of stuff from back then. Yeah,
I started reading comics like 2 years ago, so
fair.
This is all daunting to me.
Yeah, no, you get into like some Marvel and DC history because, I mean, you've got history going all the way back to, especially if you include DC, back to, like, you know, the 40s and it's, or the, shit, earlier than that, Action Comics came out and, I'm going to Google this because I don't want to say something really stupid.
Let's see, I'm trying to think in my head, I'm like, I guess maybe late 30s?
I think it was earlier than that.
Really?
No, Action Comics number one was 1938.
Ooh, go Trevor.
Because I was thinking there was some, like, I mean, I'm sure that comics existed, but not, you know, those heroes
not the
in
good
like,
ones.
Because I was thinking in the like in the late 20s is when like you got your first bit of comic books.
So during the Great Depression,
or the Roaring 20s.
Then those will last forever.
I was like, they were not roaring as hard in the late 20s.
No, they really were not. Or the early 30s. So, yeah, no, either way. Yeah, that's a lot of history. And you have a lot of stuff which is kind of like undone slash reworked from, because like you'll still see Jay Garrick and, you know, characters like that. What was the original Green Lantern's name? I actually just said this dude's name like recently.
Alan Scott?
Yes.
Is it Alan Scott?
Maybe. I think I'm pretty sure that's right. First
original Green
Lantern. Yeah, Alan Scott.
Okay. Yeah. I did it.
You did it. Yay, sir. Yeah, I
am for hire.
I think you were the person I was talking to in the car when I mentioned Alan Scott. Yeah, like very recently. Either way, yeah, no, a lot of those characters either don't exist or exist in completely different forms. Mm-hmm. There was even at one point, like, he was a gay Green Lantern in Earth 2. Mm-hmm. Yeah, comics are weird.
Well, and because Earth 2 was a thing that that DC was doing for a while that, from what I heard, like, were really good for the most part.
I was reading it back in the New 52. Mm-hmm. They just released a book called Earth 2, and I was mostly reading it because it was just a Justice League over there, but it was an Earth where Batman and Catwoman got together, and, like, Huntress was an actual character. Mm-hmm. And Huntress and... not Supergirl, but I keep wanting to call her Glory Girl, but that's something completely different.
Wonder Girl?
Wonder Girl, yes. Wonder Girl. Yeah, the basically Earth 2 Supergirl. Mm-hmm. They actually ended up being so popular from that run that they got moved over to the main universe.
Yep.
Via other stuff. Huh. Briefly. They had their own book. There was it was Huntress and Wonder Girl.
Huh.
Is it Wonder Girl?
I don't remember.
The more I'm saying that, like,
I don't think that's right. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't know. Like we said, they have such rich histories at this point.
Yeah, Wonder Girl's Cassie.
It a reboot isn't a good idea. I like Jesse's idea of just like starting a separate universe of just like, hey, these are the characters of old.
Power Girl.
Power Girl, that's what it was. Because she was the one, yes. She's the one with the window.
Yes.
And you know the story behind the window, like the plot version of
why
that's there?
Yeah, I do, and it's dumb, and I don't want to talk about it. It's so stupid.
She hasn't earned her iconic symbol like Batman and Superman have. So now it's just...
She hasn't earned the S.
So now it's just a boob window.
So instead of having no logo at all... She
just
has
a full white. It's she assumes that their costume also has just a big peck window.
Yeah, it's amazing that there's plate. No male superhero that has the giant peck window.
Yeah,
I'm sure that's just coincidence.
And I think it was a Rebirth or late New 52. They redid her costume completely, and it looked way better, and got rid of the boob window.
Yeah,
there were a group of comic book fans that were and are still upset about it.
But
they haven't come out to the light in a long time.
And
so
Kleenex,
we don't worry about them.
Didn't take that big of a hit, so
nah,
it's fine.
We're fine. We'll be okay.
But jumping back to the main topic, because this show's been everywhere.
Yes, and also we're gonna have to wrap it up soon. We're at an
that's
hour
fine.
14.
The dear Lord. yeah. So I like the idea of just giving us a kind of separate universe. Keep it completely parallel. I don't want to see crossovers. I don't want to see, the eventual melding like we got with the Ultimate Universe. Have its own set of rules, but also just like, hey, these are the classic characters. We're kind of just doing a reimagining, and if you are totally unaware of any of this, like this can kind of be a little bit of a bridge.
If your only understanding of these characters comes from the MCU, you're safe.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I would like that to be.
Right.
Like, you got their origin stories and everything else in the MCU, and you can just jump into these books.
Mm-hmm. I would probably read Marvel comics if that happened.
I would. That was the X-Men book I was reading, was X-Men 92, because it took the cast from the cartoon and put them in their own run. And mm-hmm. it was immediately canceled, and it wasn't great, but the characters that I cared about were there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was so popular there for a minute. Dirty. That it got its own ongoing, but they didn't put a really good creative team behind it, so it was poopy.
And it also suffered from, it's like, all right, it's a 4-issue miniseries, so we're going to release 3 issues and then do another number one of the ongoing. Didn't make a lot of sense. It was totally mishandled.
Yeah, because it was supposed to just be like a
Who
quick
did that,
little...
Fox?
Yeah, apparently.
Well, because that was before Disney had them. But, it was a thing that came about in the Secret Wars, the one that actually like redid everything. Like, that was the one that resulted in the melding of the Ultimate Universe into the main universe.
And a bunch of other smaller universes, too.
Yeah, they had like an actual world where those characters existed. And it was just supposed to be a quick little fun, like 3-issue thing. And it sold so well that they were going to do a new ongoing, but they didn't want to just, because it was on Battle World or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
And they didn't, because of that, they wanted to do. It's new ongoing where it's in an actual world, but they did that and the numbering confused everybody, and then it didn't sell well because it wasn't very good, and then it died a horrible death.
But if I'm also really curious, like, this is another one of those things where it's like, I am genuinely curious, like, how other people would do it. Like, would you have it be an entirely separate universe that does that, there's no crossover without eliminating anything? Would you have it be a part of the main universe and have it, just a new 52 where, hey, this is what's happening and there you go? Would you have it be like the Rebirth thing where you kind of do the new 52, but there's a story explanation for it down the line, or even you could even do it immediately, like, Captain America is like, I give up, just back to when things were better and manageable.
I honestly would prefer, like, they cut down on some of the main Marvel books,
mm-hmm.
because they're at this point they have, like, I mean, let's be fair, there's like 6 ongoing Spider-Man books at the moment.
Yeah.
Which...
And just Peter Parker books, like not even counting the Miles book.
Or Gwen, or, this is a staunch Spider-Man fan that you're talking to. Like,
There's too much.
Yeah, I put Spider-Man up there with Batman, like, mm-hmm.
He's the Batman of the MCU.
Yeah, depending on the time of year, I might say I like Spider-Man more than Batman or vice versa. Like, I love this character. And there's too much Spider-Man. He has too many books. And he just keeps getting more and more. Cut down on some of those. Cut down on, trim the fat, so to speak, in Marvel. And then just give me a whole new set of books in the new universe. Like, don't do it all at one time. Just like, you know, do a you know, what do you call it?
Soft reboot?
No, a release schedule that's not just like,
oh yeah,
here's a bunch of stuff. Give me like 1 week, give me Avengers and a Hulk book, and another week you give me like a Captain America and a Spider-Man book, and then you kind of keep going from there, and you just, you know, put out all these favorites in this new world.
Right.
And then if, you know, the world takes off a little bit, you can even start introducing some new characters and stuff like that. And that could generate a lot of, like, popularity and a lot of interest, especially, like, everybody loves buying a first appearance.
Yep.
It's true.
If as long as they are, you know, introduced in a popular book versus, you know, any of the New Age of DC hero first appearances are, well, you know. Those would have done a lot better, I think, if those characters had actually been introduced in the event that spawned them.
Agreed.
Yeah, that was really poorly handled.
And there were so many characters. Anyway, another time.
So yeah, no, that's what I think they should do. Cut down on a bunch of Marvel books. Give me a separate universe where, like, you know, do the Ultimate Universe again.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to make a crossover eventually where you have this, like, melding, I think that's something that they might go to at some point. Mm-hmm. But up to then, no real interaction between the two.
Yeah. Trevor, go. All
right, Marvel, you've heard us. This is the roadmap to success. Take our opinions and make them work.
We speak for the majority.
So many people are like, no, I'm never listening to this show again. They have no idea what the hell they're talking about.
That's kind
but of, if you think that, let us know.
Tell us how wrong we are.
Because I actually am curious how, like, other people would, I'm very interested in what other people think. Maybe they don't think that the universe should be changed at all. It's just, this is the complex history. Come in and try to piece it together.
No, since I've learned that the Kool-Aid Man is owned by Marvel, my life
don't
is
know
not
if
going
he's owned by Marvel. He
they
just,
may have the comic book rights.
Stephen Colbert appeared in an issue of Spider-Man, so I mean, it's they made an appearance.
I want my Kool-Aid Man.
Yes. Yes, please. Oh, my God. Like, that would be just the best first villain.
That would be so terrible. It would be so terrible, and we all know it. But we would all just laugh as we read it.
Mm-hmm. It would be exactly as, like, it should be terrible, but it'll be just great. Like, I want them to give us, like, that double date I mentioned earlier.
What?
Like, that double date should have been awful, but I loved it.
The reason that he can go toe-to-toe with the Hulk is because, like, one of his ice cubes is the Cosmic Cube.
Or he just has a whole, like, bowl of Cosmic Cubes.
Or just the Cosmic Cube fell into a bowl of Kool-Aid, and this is how he's created.
The Kool-Aid... Okay, here we go. And this is how we can end it.
Okay.
The Kool-Aid Man himself is the Infinity Gauntlet. All of those ice cubes are the Infinity Stones, so they change the flavor of Kool-Aid within the Kool-Aid Man based on what abilities he is using.
That works. So for whatever reason, like, somehow the stones get dumped into a bowl of Kool-Aid.
Grape is time.
That's money. That's money for Marvel because they got a
lime is time.
They got a kick-ass story to tell that's going to sell a billion copies of every book. It's going to go into 20th printing. Then you also you got Kool-Aid making a killing because now you got Marvel themed Infinity Stone flavor packets.
Oh.
You're going to tell me that every nerd isn't going to buy at least two, one to drink and one to save?
Oh.
I feel personally attacked right there.
Yeah, welcome to the Spend Monster Show.
Boom, nerds for hire.